This hour of the Mornings with Ed show is brought to you by WealthWise Financial Services. It's wealth management redefined.
Laureen Gilbert is a financial advisor with and securities and advisory services offered through LPL Financial, a registered investment advisor, member FINRA SIPC.
And as 8 o'clock on a Wednesday always does, it brings us the great opportunity to speak with the award-winning president and CEO of WealthWise Financial Services. In to talk about the economy with us is Laureen Gilbert. Welcome, Laureen.
Good morning, Ed. Good to be here.
It's great to have you this morning. Having a good day?
Thank you. Yes, a very good day.
All right, perfect. Now, some of our best conversations happen off-air, yours and mine. And over the last several weeks, it's been a personal conversation because you've been worried about the health of your wonderful Chobe.
Yes, my little baby, my dog.
Yes.
And she, you know, our pets are part of our family.
Absolutely.
Right? And she is definitely my family. And it's been a month now, Ed, that we have been trying to figure out what has been wrong with her in and out of hospitals, vet hospitals. And just amazing what wonderful people there are in those vet hospitals to figure out when a pet can't talk and tell you, you know, what's hurting, what's ailing them. And the good news, I have good news today after a month that she has turned a corner and I think she's on the road to recovery. Now they think it's an autoimmune disease. And if you can believe it, they think it may have been triggered by the flu vaccine. You may have heard that all the vets were encouraging people to get the flu vaccine for their dogs, which, you know, was a great idea. Not all dogs, I guess, can bear it as well as others. I know many dogs are just fine with it, but little Chobe had a very negative reaction and almost died.
Well, take us back a month. Take us back to when you discovered, she's not doing well.
Well, she was lethargic and just not really moving around much. And then she finally stopped eating. And I, you know, was encouraged by a dear friend of mine who's in Laguna Beach, who's an animal activist, I was talking to her every day and she's like, take her in now, you know. So took her in immediately. And sure enough, you know, she had a really high fever. And they immediately put her on antibiotics and her blood work, which she had just had a couple of weeks before, because I could tell she was a little lethargic. But at that point, it wasn't showing up yet. And then all of a sudden, her white blood cells, her red blood cells, her platelets all went just way down. And so that was the beginning of this journey. And what I want to say to people, and when we talk about finances, is I am so grateful, Ed, that I had pet insurance.
Oh, yeah.
And I bought that pet insurance. I wish I'd actually bought it sooner. I bought it 3 years ago, and I'm using Nationwide. And I know I've talked to some people that have not had good experiences with pet insurance, but I will tell you, Nationwide has been fantastic. And, I'm just talking about from personal experience. They never called me. They never questioned anything. I had a $250 deductible and then coverage of 90% after that.
Wow.
And we're talking, this has been, you know, five figures of spending. Right. I mean, this is an expensive endeavor. And I'm very grateful to have had that pet insurance and want to encourage people with pets to consider pet insurance for their animal, and of course research, but my experience with Nationwide has been fantastic.
That is so great to hear. And you know what? Insurance is exactly that. You don't need it until you need it, and absolutely saving tens of thousands of dollars. The procedures that you've been describing to me over the last month, those procedures I know run into the tens of thousands of dollars.
Oh, it's been crazy, and I will tell you that the idea behind insurance, we've talked about this before in other kinds of insurance, but it's transferring the risk away from yourself onto an insurance company so that you don't have to bear that risk. And that's what it's done here. It's been fantastic. So in the midst of all of the emotions of just trying to keep her alive and all of that, I've had the peace of mind of knowing that I have that pet insurance to help out financially.
And I need to just pass along, we are so delighted for you. And me personally, who
thank
have been
you.
Sharing this with you, I am so delighted for you right now and this morning.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Well, thank
very
you.
Very grateful.
And thank you for that great announcement about pet insurance, because it is so incredibly important.
I know you have it as well, right?
Yeah. We have seniors at the house. So we have all senior dogs, and it is absolutely an invaluable tool. It's the most valuable tool is pet insurance.
Yeah.
It really is.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So let's start talking economy. We're past the first quarter now, and we're into earnings season. If you were like you are an analyst. My God, I was going to say pretend you're a football analyst, but you don't have to be. Pretend you're a financial analyst. Tell us about the first quarter. What did we experience there, and what does that indicate leading into the second quarter?
Well, the first quarter was another phenomenal quarter where we had on the S&P 500, we had 26% year-over-year earnings growth. And let me just tell you, this quarter is not going to be that quarter. And so, before that, we were at like over 40% year-over-year earnings growth coming off the pandemic. So we knew that the year-over-year earnings growth number is going to be declining. Having said that, we're still expecting a double-digit number, probably around 10% year-over-year earnings growth. But 10%, is a lot different than 26%, which was a lot different than over 40%. So, coming off the lows of where we were, we had the big bump up, and then now we're getting more to realistic numbers as far as year-over-year earnings growth. And today, this is the beginning, like you said, of the season, of earnings season, and it always starts out with the big banks, and we've already started to hear about the big banks.
Right. This morning, J.P. Morgan Chase kicked off earnings season with some bad news. The first quarter profits for them fell 42% from a year ago, mostly driven lower by Russia's invasion of Ukraine. Obviously, high levels of inflation and supply chain problems. Is that an indicator for the rest of the of earnings season for us?
Yeah. So let's talk about J.P. Morgan. So, and by the way, as a result, what you're going to see is an immediate reaction in the equity market. So looking now, right now, it looks like it's down, as we speak, about 3.5% for JPM. So expect that if a company doesn't meet expectations, you're going to see a reaction by the market. So the market expectations were $2.72 per share, and it actually earned $2.63 per share. So when you look at that, though, in terms of actually earnings in dollars, it was $8.28 billion compared with what they expected of, compared with last quarter of $14.3 billion actually a year ago. So those earning dollars went a year ago from $14.3 billion now to $8.2 billion. So pretty significant decline in the earnings. Revenue fell by 5%. So what's happening now is then the markets are going to react to that. Now, that doesn't mean that they're not profitable, right? So that's what investors need to understand. They're just not as profitable as they were. And so, they're still profitable, not as profitable as they were. And then if you look at the other item that was noted, expenses went up. And that's the part that we're going to pay a lot of attention to. Now, with J.P. Morgan, their expenses only went up 2%. Okay. So that really isn't that bad considering inflation, considering all that. We heard yesterday the headline number of 8.5%, which was, another high month over month there on the inflation number. But we expect to hear a lot from companies about how inflation is impacting their profit margin. How much is their profit margin being hit? Or are they able to pass along those excess costs to consumers? That is the key. And the companies that are able to be price setters, set their price, increase their price, are the ones that are going to maintain that profit margin. And those are the ones this quarter that are going to do much better.
Okay. And I'm curious as to the average investor, when they see that last year it was $14.3 billion or $4.50 a share roughly compared to right now, yeah, $2.63 a share. Do you see investors hitting the panic button, and do you calm them down when they do that, or?
Well, you know, I mean, a couple things. There are people that are traders and there are people that are investors.
Right.
And if you're a trader, you trade on the news.
Okay.
And if you're an investor, you invest for the long haul. So we encourage our clients to be investors and not traders. Now, having said that, Ed, we have become more conservative. And thankfully, we did that before this earnings season. We just did it right at the end of the last quarter. We rebalanced portfolios. And what we did was we got them with what we call lower beta to the overall market. So we reduced some exposure to higher beta, higher volatile equities, and we brought it down. Now, having said all that, I want to remind the investors that in an inflationary environment and in an environment where rates are going up, in the first part of this season, right, equities are favored over fixed income. Hmm. So it's not a question of like getting out of equities, but it's a question of what equities are you holding, what type of equities, how much beta does that have relative to the benchmark, and what we're doing right now is bringing it below benchmark.
Okay. And do you see the central banks in the first quarter continued to tighten monetary policy? You see that continuing?
Yeah, globally around the world.
Right.
I mean, what we're hearing is I think Canada is expecting 50 basis points here. And so I think you're going to hear more and more of that. It's not just the United States. It's around the globe having to start the raising rates.
Okay. And we've been seeing over the last week or two the lockdowns of the COVID-19 outbreak in China and the Shanghai COVID lockdowns. Tell us about the effect that has on the global economy.
Yeah, just tragic for the people there, isn't it? I mean, it just breaks our hearts to see people locked in their homes and not able to get food. I mean, it's just a human tragedy and human rights violations. So, you know, shame on them for sure. It's just absolutely crazy. So the issue is how that impacts production. And you know, what we heard is there are 500 ships off the coast of China that have been turned away, 500. So there's a real, this unfortunately, when we thought we could see clear of supply chain issues, this lockdown,
right,
is bringing it all back again. So we're looking at increased supply chain issues. We're looking at not being able to get goods out of China. We're looking at the companies that are heavily reliant upon parts and products out of China. They're going to be hurt. So, you know, some areas of China are not hurt as much. You know, some of the areas, you know, it's Shanghai. There are other areas also on lockdown. Thankfully, some other areas that we rely upon heavily for production were not as impacted. But I will say it's a huge slowdown. It is going to affect the global economy. It's going to affect us in America receiving goods.
Right. And not just, I'm imagining, not just here in the second quarter, but throughout the rest of the year, I'm sure.
Yes.
Right.
And what you're seeing right now, Ed, is revisions of GDP. Revisions of growth and what those expectations of growth are. And those numbers are coming down, down, down. And I think you're just going to continue to see that.
And we've been seeing, as we've been speaking about for several weeks, we know that the Fed is looking to increase interest rates another six times at a 25.25 clip each time. Do you see that number changing because of what's happening in Shanghai?
Yes, and no, we now expect 50 basis points in May.
Okay.
So that was priced in on Monday. That's what happened
okay.
on Monday.
Okay.
Monday, the market's priced in after hearing Fed presidents discuss it and talk about it and talk about that, you know, 50 basis points is probable. So there's a lot of chatter about that. I think it's realistic. I think the Fed wants to front load the 50 basis points. You know, they appeased the markets with 25 the first go round, but then they kept saying, you know, hey, we're not closing the door on 50 basis points, and now it's priced in. So I think 50 basis points is likely on this next one. And then what investors need to be prepared for is perhaps another 50 basis point increase. And what does that mean? That means more repricing of the markets. Okay. So we expect continued volatility in this environment. Another thing I want to point out, Ed, is that a Harris poll just came out that indicates that 84% of Americans plan to decrease their spending as a result of higher inflation and affecting their bottom lines. Because when food prices and gas prices go up as much as they have, then the consumer starts getting nervous and they pull back on spending. And two-thirds of our GDP, or almost 70%, is reliant upon a consumer continuing to spend. So while the consumer has still been resilient up to now, what we need to be looking at is at what point are they going to really start pulling back harder. And that's why, you know, we don't really favor consumer discretionary right now, because we don't think the consumer is going to have a lot of discretionary dollars.
Okay. And we've been mentioning the R word for a while here, recession. Is that in our future?
It's definitely in the future. The question is when. I don't think it's going to be 2022. And, you know, it could be late 2023. But what investors need to realize is that the markets react and price in a recession before the recession actually happens. So the markets are always forward-looking. And so we might still be a year and a half away from a recession, or it could even be 2 years. And I think I mentioned this last week, that on average, from the point of the yield curve inverting to the time a recession actually happens, the market, the S&P 500, goes up on average about 12.4%. So with that, you know, we still see some positives in the equity market. I wouldn't say that we need to be out of the equity markets, but once again, it's the type of equities that you own. So recession is definitely in the future, and it doesn't have to be catastrophic. You know, it doesn't have to be. Not all recessions, Ed, are like 2008. But the problem is everybody has post-traumatic stress,
right?
PTSD over the last big recession. I mean, the pandemic was a recession, but the markets quickly rebounded. But what happened in 08 is it dragged on for a while, and it was so severe because it was a financial recession. So it was one of the hardest hit ones. And so what I want to point out is not every recession is like that, and nor should investors be afraid of a recession. It's simply preparing for it. And that's what we're doing. We are preparing for the next recession, whenever it is.
You always keep us so well prepared. And you also keep us away from the sky is falling crowd, which I appreciate that.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
How do our listeners find you for a conversation, Laureen?
Wealthwisefinancial.com or 949-748-1177.
I'm going to say this, and I mean it, like, as much as I've meant anything. The best news I've heard in a long time was this morning's news, I swear, with
Chobe. Thank
you. So congratulations there. Laureen, thank you so much for being a part of the program this morning.
Thanks so much.
Always a pleasure to have you. Laureen Gilbert, President and CEO of Wealthwise Financial Services, and that was the Wealthwise moment. It's the Mornings with Ed Show.
Advisory services offered through LPL Financial, a registered investment advisor, member FINRA SIPC.